Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening and stay connected.
For the last 6 weeks at Mount Vernon Towers, it's a senior condominium complex just down the road, we've been engaged in a study of St. Paul. Our way into this towering figure of the church was to begin to unpack the historical context of the Roman world in the first century. We learned that it's crucial that we do not simply throw certain 21st century assumptions back onto Paul's letters. Instead, we had to do the difficult work of making that world, Paul's world, Jesus of Nazareth's world, the world of the New Testament, very strange to us, so that it can speak on its own terms and become energizing and explosive in our midst, precisely by letting it be other and different. It retains its capacity to transform us. I recognize this is a funny way to talk about it. Surely we engage in study of any kind to gain knowledge and clear things up, not make them strange. This is true enough. But think about whatever it is that you know the most about. Perhaps it's the body of knowledge necessary for your trade, whether it's as an investment banker or a mother. And surely we know which of these requires more knowledge. Anyway, isn't it true that the more you begin to know, the more you're able to see the nuances that you did not recognize before? Personally, I've learned just enough about wine to realize that I know nothing. And the world of wine is made strange, yet again. But that is where it retains its allure. It draws me back in. In a couple of sermons recently, we've contemplated the deep mystery of our beloved friend or spouse or mother as growing to be more enigmatic and mysterious over time than we ever imagined. There's always and infinitely another layer of discovery just around the bend, just waiting to surprise us with joy and intrigue, to draw us back in. And so it is with Christ. Our rector, Michael, intriguingly explored this a couple weeks ago in relation to Judas. Judas, he suggested, could not accept the mystery and dynamism of his friend Jesus. He became frustrated with the kind of love that constantly invited him into new depths of discovery, that encouraged him to see the world made strange from a kingdom kind of perspective. It seems that he instead wanted all the answers, everything cleared up, a kind of controlling knowledge. But you cannot exhaust, control, or fully grasp the untamable love of Christ. It's always very near, yet up ahead. This is a kind of love that knows no bounds and is always requiring us to expand our imaginative capacity, to envision a world made strange by the politics of the kingdom, by an economy rooted not in scarcity and paranoid competition, but a market of generosity and gift. That is surely a world strange to us. That's because it's of God. Just when you think you have this Christianity thing completely tamed or Jesus categorically secured in your mind, beware, because he's always pushing us on into a new territory. His love is always making the world we thought we knew a bit strange to us, so that we might fall in love with it again, and even more intimately this time. He draws us back in. The saints of the church have not been those who have fooled themselves into thinking that they have mastered knowledge of God to the point of taming or controlling him like Judas wanted to. But rather, those who have constantly opened themselves up to be grasped by something more of God, some new level of commitment, some new way of seeing Christ in others. The saints are those who risk getting caught up in the strangeness of a world that operates on the law of Christ. This is Jesus' prayer for you and me, that we get caught up in God's life. Don't just take my word for it. Take St. John's word. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and then he said, I ask not only on behalf of these who are right here with me, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through my disciples' word, that they all may be one. Did you catch that? He's praying for us. We are those who have believed in Christ through his apostles' word. Jesus is praying that he might enter into us so that our lives might be alive to God, resulting in us being awake to one another in unity and communion, a kind of communion that would announce a new way of being human to a world and a culture turned in on itself. It must be the strange politics of God. What would it look like for us in the concrete practicalities of our lives to say that our primary task is to be alive to God? Not just here on Sundays, although this is the most central day of the week for us. And as Allison reminded us last week, it's the most pivotal time when we remember that we are Christ's own, when we come here to worship and adore. But this being alive to God way of life is not just for Sunday. When we walk out of these doors, we don't shed Christ, do we? On the contrary, we carry him in our souls, and our bodily habits. Our bodily habits show forth the new pattern of life in him, alive to God. This is the new creation, the strange new economy or body politic that the world yearns for. A pattern of life that shows our neighbors that Christ's kingdom of love is actively present and in our midst. We don't dare suffocate the kingdom by throwing our own expectations and assumptions over the top of it. Instead, we're freely invited to step into it and breathe the air of a new atmosphere. Christ prays for us that we begin to breathe in this new air, the air that the saints have known, the air of a strange new atmosphere. Have you sensed it? Jesus' prayer for us is that we might become more like him by being alive to God and awake to one another. And that relationship between Father and Son that Jesus wants to share with us, it's inexhaustible. It's perfect love, a divine economy of gift, the kind that never tries to fully possess and control, but freely delights in the other. This day in particular might push us to consider that mothers and children deeply know something of this kind of relation rooted solely in gift. That kind of life, it's not make-believe. That kind of life between mother and child is about as close as we can get to making sense of life in Christ's atmosphere. Friends, if we lean into his prayer for us, we'll set the world on fire with a burning love that has been from the very beginning and will never end. We need the world to be made strange to us through Christ so that we can begin to reimagine what things would look like if we made room for God to act through us, between us, within us. The very last words of our sacred scriptures that we heard this morning, a reading from Revelation, the last words in the Bible, as it were, they give us all we need to go forward. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints, period. And so it is. His grace poured into us in bread and wine. It's all we need. Rejoice, the Lord is very near when his prayer is made real in us. Amen.